It's all about her. It's all about you. Her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio, starring acclaimed women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and renowned physician, Dr. Pamela Peake.
I'll tell you one thing, Michelle, one of the scariest cancers for women, and I know that women have said this on your wonderful, wonderful Empower Her online, is ovarian cancer. Oh, gosh, you know.
Silent killer.
Silent killer. You got it. So what we have now is a wonderful gift to all the women out there. We have Dr. Mesh Seibel, who is an expert, America's leading thought leader and speaker on women's health and menopause, and he's going to help us understand what goes on with ovarian cancer. And I know this is also written in his wonderful, wonderful online magazine, My Menopause Mag. Dr. Seibel, help us with this whole issue of ovarian cancer. We're very afraid. We want to know.
Well, you know, women need to be not afraid, but they need to be mindful. Because ovarian cancer is silent, I'll tell you why it's silent. I mean, the ovary is about as big as the tip of your thumb. Not very big. And it sits freely in your abdomen, down in the pelvic area. Now, you can imagine if you're the doctor trying to feel for this, and particularly we have two-thirds of the country that's overweight, one-third obese. Trying to feel something the size of the tip of your thumb inside a person's belly is very hard to do. And because it's so much space in there, and these are small organs, we don't feel symptoms very much until they get really big. And that's the problem. Because the symptoms are so darn vague. And they have to do with things like bloating and lower abdominal pain or painful sex. Sometimes if the male hits the ovary inside of the woman's vagina. So these kinds of things are just so vague that women often dismiss it.
Well, we have other symptoms too, like nausea and vomiting, fatigue, difficulty eating or feeling full, constipation, increased gas, urinary symptoms, abnormal menstrual cycles. I mean, between you and me, this sounds pretty general. I mean,
well, that's why people can't, you can't go to the doctor for every time you have gas, for goodness sakes. You know what I mean? It's like, you'd be like your car
there.
Every time you get gas, you know. You'd be at the doctor. So it won't work. But here's what we need to know. The most important thing is that if you have a family history of ovarian cancer, it doesn't matter how old the person was, if it's over 50 or under 50, if you have a family history of ovarian cancer, then you need to get genetic testing, because about 10% of ovarian cancer is caused by, particularly, not exclusively, but particularly by the gene BRCA, or the breast cancer gene.
Yeah.
And even though it is the breast cancer gene, it's highly overrepresented for the ovary, too. And if you have a person with one family history that has ovarian cancer, well, you have about a 20% chance. About five out of 100 women are going to get it if you have one family relative. And if you have more than one, then you're going to have a 7% chance of getting it. So if you have a positive family history of ovarian cancer, talk to your doctor about getting genetic counseling and possibly genetic testing. I mean,
well, you know, this came up with Angelina Jolie.
Jolie, right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean,
well, that's right.
You
know? And she was very smart. And I'll tell you something that's also very important, and that is people think, now you would think logically that ovarian cancer comes from, the ovary. But not always so.
Right.
And the fact is that many times the cells of the fallopian tube, that little tube that carries the egg from the ovary to the uterus where the conception is going to grow into a pregnancy, that tube is the origin of the cell. So if women have their ovaries removed at any time in order to prevent ovarian cancer, and this happens for women like Angelina Jolie, who may be earlier than menopause, but because the risk is great enough, they have their ovaries removed. They have to have the fallopian tubes taken out also, because otherwise they haven't taken away all of the risk that they have potentially.
Do you still have risk, though? Because this is what I hear all the time, even though I've had my ovaries, everything removed, that I still run the risk because the cells could still have been there before I had everything removed, and you can't always get everything. Is that true?
It's true to an extent. It's not so much the cells are there. The fact of the matter is that just like not all of the cells are located in the ovary, almost all the cells are located in the ovary and the fallopian tube, but rarely one of two things happens. A piece of ovary is left behind or a piece of tube is left behind, so it's incompletely removed, 99%, but incompletely. Or rarely, the cells that line the abdomen, called the peritoneal lining, those cells have the potential, rarely, it's very rare, but rarely, to convert into cancer also. So the risk isn't zero, but it's way, way reduced, and that's really important.
And I had a friend who had peritoneal cancer. She was diagnosed with it had a complete hysterectomy, and even though it's rare, I'm hearing more and more about it just because, maybe because of her, but boy, that is one tough cancer.
The thing about it is that if you're at increased risk, it's important to get, ultrasound testing as well as genetic testing. Genetic counseling, first of all, where you just talk to someone and get a family history, and you get an idea of the risk. Genetic testing is usually a blood test in which a gene can be identified and see if you have an increased susceptibility, an increased risk of that. Now, some people think it can be found on the pap smear, and occasionally it can. But right now, today, the pap smear is for the cancer of the cervix, the neck of the uterus. It's not going to be very helpful for ovarian cancer. And infrequently is it going to be helpful for uterine cancer, specifically for that one area where you rub a few cells off and look under a microscope. But if you have the blood test, CA-125 is a marker, and that's one that some of you may remember Gilda Radner.
That's right. Rosanna Dana.
But I must say that CA-125 is not a very reliable
because
it goes up for like fibroids or people have breast cysts. It goes up for endometriosis.
In many respects.
It goes up for everything. So I'm always happy when the CA-125 is low, but I'm not worried necessarily immediately when it's up. Because
is there a relationship between ovarian cancer and something we can prevent, like maybe obesity? Is there any association there?
Yes, there is. Women who are obese are at increased risk. And one of the things that takes and that's another good reason, to really control your weight, because it's not a good thing to be overweight. First of all, it puts you at increased risk, and second, you can't feel it if you have it. But the other side of the coin is things that seem to be helpful is women who have more children or have children at an earlier age, or who are on the birth control pill for 5 years or more, lower their risk. And it seems like not ovulating as much, which is what happens when you're on the pill or pregnant, or more pregnancies, is beneficial to this. So that's good. And also, the same things that everyone tells you for everything else that are helpful, and that's exercise and eating lots of fruits and vegetables. While this doesn't stop you, it's believed to lower the risk. And these are simple things that everyone can do.
So there is this correlation between breast cancer and ovarian cancer?
Yes.
Okay. I think women
and also
don't
colon
know that.
Cancer, particularly if you're have one of these genetic tests, and also pancreas cancer. Women who have the BRCA gene, they don't talk about it much, but that BRCA gene or BRCA gene, which is associated breast and also ovary, is also associated with an increased risk of pancreatic cancer, which is the organ that makes insulin for our sugar control.
Well, thank you so much. Go to mymenopause.mag or mymenopause mag to see Dr. Seibel. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Radio MD. Stay well.